May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to the cross. Welcome to Lent. Today Jesus allows himself to be tempted by the devil, just as he also allows each and every one of us to be tempted many times during our daily lives. Why is this so? We may ask ourselves. Well, Jesus, our Saviour, permits these trials, tribulations, and crosses to allow us to practice living the life of virtue towards the path of holiness. Where would we be if there was no opportunity each day to exercise the virtues of especially patience and perseverance? Where would we be if everybody lived together in harmony, a nicey-nicey life, without the cross and the grace to overcome these temptations? Jesus Christ, immediately after the baptism of John, was led by the Holy Spirit, who descended in the form of a dove upon him, to the rugged desert regions that lie to the west of Jericho, a desert which extends from Jericho to the mountains of Judea. He was led there to be tempted by the devil. The Lord knew the thoughts of the devil, that he sought to tempt him. He had heard that Christ had been born into this world with the preaching of angels, the witness of shepherds, the inquiry of the Magi, and the testimony of John. He prepared himself, that is Christ, for his public life and ministry by a fast, as we read in the Holy Scripture, of 40 days. We see the first clash now between the Redeemer, our Lord, and Satan. Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to free us from slavery and the snares of Satan, and to map out the path of salvation for all mankind. First of all, the very fact of temptation is very mysterious, since the Redeemer was perfectly ordained in all his powers and was wisdom, order, holiness, and harmony itself. Therefore, he could not suffer a temptation out of necessity or a disturbance in powers or an illusion of false light. How it was possible then for our Lord to be tempted by Satan? It was Jesus himself in his love and charity who put himself in a condition to feel a weakness, and not being able to feel it in his soul because his soul was perfect, he felt it in his body, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Christ then wished to be tempted so that he might strengthen us all against temptations, just as by his death he overcame our death. Secondly, that we might be warned so that none, however holy, may think himself safe or free from temptation. Thirdly, in order to give us an example, to teach us how to overcome the temptations of the devil. Fourthly, in order to fill us with confidence in his mercy. Remember well, Christ of his own free will exposed himself to be tempted by the devil, just as by his own free will he submitted himself to be killed violently by his members. Else the devil would not have dared to approach him. Now the devil always prefers to assail or attack a man who is alone. And so it was when Christ went out into the desert. It was also becoming that Christ should wish a fast before his temptation. First, in order to give us an example, he teaches us the need of fasting in order to equip ourselves against the temptations. Secondly, in order to show that the devil assails with temptations even those who fast, as likewise those who are given to other good works. And so Christ's temptation took place after his fast and also after his baptism. The temptation which comes from the enemy takes the form first of a suggestion. Consequently, the devil does not go straight away to tempt the spiritual man to grave sins, but he begins with the lighter sins, so as gradually to lead him into those of a greater magnitude. Thus too did the devil set about the temptation of the first man, Adam. For at first he enticed his mind to consent to the eating of the forbidden fruit. In Genesis chapter 3, we read, "Why hath God commanded you that you should not eat of the every tree of paradise?" Secondly, to vainglory by saying, "Your eyes shall be opened." And lastly, he led the temptation to the extreme height of pride, saying, the devil, to Adam and Eve, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." This is the same order in which the devil now tempted Christ. For at first he tempted him to which that men desire, however spiritual they may be, namely the support of the corporal nature of food. Secondly, he advanced to the matter in which spiritual men are always found wanting, inasmuch as they do certain things for show, which pertains always to something we call vain glory. And thirdly, the temptation he led, this temptation onto that in which no spiritual man but only carnal man have a part, namely the desire for worldly riches and fame, to the extent of holding God in contempt. How can we put these teachings then in our Lenten journey into practice in these weeks ahead? We know well that those who are more serious about their faith will unfortunately be tempted more. Saint Hilary tells us the devil's snares are chiefly spread for the sanctified, because a victory over the saints is more desired than over others. Perhaps we have all heard this story where the devil abandons a whole population in a town in the prison of their vices without need to tempt them, because they already wallow in their own sins. He instead roams around for the pious souls seeking perfection and religious, hoping to entangle them into his deceits. We must then overcome these temptations. How? How? By a life filled with the supernatural grace, by a life of prayer and sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession weekly, whereby the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is poured upon your soul to prevent the devil from overpowering you with such temptations. By a life of union to Jesus Christ through the Blessed Virgin Mary, who crushes the head of the serpent of all temptations. With these weapons and a life of charity, you can repel the first advance of the temptation with prayer. Know well, and we counsel also in the confessions, this principle: if you consent to these temptations and impure thoughts and want them, then they move in this passage from your mind and the intellect into your heart. If you then take pleasure in them, you thus fall, and you fall into sin and become a slave of the devil. Remember well that the greatest fast that we can make this Lent is not from food or small delicacies. The greatest fast this Lent is from sin. But what else can we do? We know Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert. We know that 40 is a holy number. We know we must offer alms, fasts, and sacrifices as Catholics in this period. Why then not step out in faith and offer the greatest work par excellence, the greatest alms and charity nowadays as a Catholic, to give witness to life outside abortion centres? This is the 40 Days for Life campaign, now in full swing, which started last week, Ash Wednesday, on the 26th of February. Did you know that there are five abortion or death camps in and around the Bournemouth area? The campaign runs a vigil at Orphea Road, the BPAS Centre. BPAS is British Pregnancy Advisory Service, where in the past 20 or 30 years, 20 or 30,000 of our brothers and sisters have been crucified. The mother's womb now is a place where the defenseless unborn child is fighting for survival. Abortion is the number one cause of death worldwide. The decision for abortion was made first on a mass scale in the UK way back in 1967, and thus most other countries have now followed, tragically. Do we realise that 1 million babies are aborted each week globally? We will be judged. We will be judged in the annals of time in reference to our stand in life. Let us make sure then that we are on the right side of history, on the right side of truth. If you are interested in the fight for life, then why not make a penance of these 40 days in Lent and make a commitment to pray outside of the abortion centre in Ophir Road in this current 40 Days for Life campaign. This is a great witness, and if you put yourself out and make this commitment, Our Lady will be so generous and your life will be blessed. Make a stand for the lives of the unborn who have no one to speak for them. We know well that abortion and all these other offences and abominations against God, be it the same-sex marriage, homosexuality, pornography, gender ideology, etc., etc., are but the consequences of a huge loss of faith. We know that by going to the abortion centres to help the mothers in crisis is at the end of the line. But somebody must step out and do this work of charity. If the mothers and fathers had faith in Jesus Christ, then surely they would not appear in places like Ophir Road. Why not then go to help in Lent at this, what we call modern day Calvary? Why do we call it the modern day Calvary? Because it is the place of the shedding of innocent blood, like Calvary, where Jesus Christ is being crucified in his mystical body, his brothers and sisters, the unborn in the womb. Why not go also to, we call this modern day Ground Zero? Not the place where we saw way back 2001, we call 9/11, where the two jets being used as terrorist weapons to violently destroy the harmony of the workers in the Twin Towers on that dreadful day, but to the place nowadays where the terrorist instruments are the abortionists who cut through the womb of the mother to destroy God's greatest gift of life, the poor unborn in the womb of the mother. As one US statesman, Edmund Burke, said in the last century, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. How can we do nothing when millions of our unborn are being eliminated in such a casual manner? The numbers are so colossal in this barbarism that they seem unreal. This would be a true alms and fast to give our time freely for life this Lent. By stepping out in faith, we can also help to overcome the tactics of the devil. By such charity, we can disarm the evil one as our Lord disarmed Satan in the Jordan desert, so that one day in a life allowing ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit in our 40 days of life on this earth, we will be no longer tempted, but gaze upon the face of our Redeemer with his mother, our co-redemptrix and queen, in paradise forever and ever. Amen. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.